And come on in to ATOPS Monday Manna Bible Study. We are here and we are waiting for you.
All right. We hope everyone has had a great day today, and we hope that you are enjoying this day that God has allowed you to participate in. For this is indeed the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And so we praise God for each of you and those who are going to join us here in a few minutes and be a part of this time that we're going to spend together tonight. How you doing today, Lady Kim?
I'm good.
Okay. All right. Well, we have a lot of ground to cover tonight, and we praise God for each of you who are yet on. We see a couple of people signing on. I'm going to go on to the app side and see how we can navigate those who are yet joining us in that platform. But we praise God for how God is sustaining us in this season. And we're certainly grateful for all that he's doing, all that he's done, and all that he will do. For the word of the Lord decrees that eyes haven't seen nor ears heard, neither have there entered into the heart of men the things that God has prepared for those who love him. It's coming in. There it is. Yes, ma'am. All right. Well, you about ready to get started tonight, Lady Kim?
I am.
We're going to look at Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter. Mm-hmm. This is our last chapter of Ecclesiastes. And can you believe it that we're coming to the close of Ecclesiastes?
No, I can't. It went by really fast.
I know, right? Yeah. You were saying, yeah, I can't believe it. But I know you can, but it's getting ready to close out tonight. And there are about... I believe 14 verses there in the 12th chapter. We covered the 11th chapter last week, and so we're going to cover this 12th chapter tonight, and then we'll close out of Ecclesiastes, and we'll go into the Song of Solomon in our next time when we're together. Mm-hmm. But let's go to God in prayer as we prepare for this time together. God, we bless you and we honor you, and we do thank you for this day. We thank you for your keeping power, and we thank you for saving and delivering, and we thank you for setting us free. For he indeed who the Son sets free is free indeed. And so, God, we thank you for everything that you've done for us, all that you are yet doing, and all that you will do. And so, God, even as we have gathered on this Monday night for this Monday night manna, we pray that you will stir our spirits, and then, God, that you will settle us and center us and allow us to hear your voice. And then, God, we pray that as a result of us hearing your word, that our faith will increase. So we love you tonight. We honor you. And we thank you for being our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen. Amen.
All right. Well, Lady Kim, it was an interesting weekend for us this week. We closed out with our second module of our Institute for Leadership Training.
Yes.
Dr. Butler closed out with the discipleship aspect of that module, and we had an excellent time with that. And the people were able to break into groups and kind of share and kind of explore. We were coming off of a leadership fast as we prepared for that final module with the workshop. And I believe that helped people to get a clearer sense of what God was saying to them and what he's trying to get done in us in this season. We're serious about this mandate of making disciples and being intentional about our leadership. I think I made a statement that a good leader is a person that's a good follower.
A good follower.
And
mm-hmm.
So not only must we follow, but we must have, not only must we have leadership aspects, skills and qualifications, but it normally happens when you come through the ranks, you know, and you learn how to be a good follower. So I hope that our leaders are being inspired by this. We're having an excellent time, and we're getting ready to start the next module next week, and that will be around stewardship. And Lady Kim will be leading that particular module as we go through this time together with our leaders. But we also had an excellent time in our worship experience on yesterday as well. But there were a couple of people who were missing in action that really look forward to seeing in our worship services. Lady Kim had an opportunity to preach at Trinity Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, on yesterday. And Dr. Qualis accompanied her as she shared and poured into the people there. We're still building that relationship, and we're still working with them in terms of making some things happen. And so we look forward to a continued relationship with them. And so I was left alone, almost like Jacob, you know. And I had to wrestle yesterday.
Did you?
Yes, ma'am.
I heard the wrestling went well, though.
Did you?
Yes.
Okay.
I heard you preached an awesome word. And I heard that there were a lot of people in the house on yesterday, mm-hmm. and that the word was received with joy and gladness.
Okay. Did you get a chance to just recap or anything? Did you get a chance to look at that?
I did not look at it.
Now, you've been with me all day. You could have told me that. I would have been prepared to just share a little bit.
I did not look at it because, well, you know, yesterday when I got home, a lot was going on.
You know, I
attended the funeral services of my coworker. Mm-hmm. I taught her son in first grade. She was also one of my homebound teachers. Mm-hmm. And so I preached at Trinity, then left there and went to the funeral services, and then got home last night and had work to do to turn in for my class. Mm-hmm. And so it was just one thing after another. So no, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
I didn't get a chance to
view.
But you're going to give us a recap, I'm sure.
Well, I don't mind. And you can turn to your app and you'll see the points there. But we were in Jeremiah, the 30th chapter, verses 5 through 7. And our title for the message on yesterday, we diverted a little bit from our series, but it really ties into our Insecure series, talking about insecurities. But with the way things have developed in the city of Memphis over the last couple of weeks, and how things have really just kind of taken on a whole nother atmosphere of people being on high alert, people staying in, and people not able to fully move around freely because, of course, the young lady, she was kidnapped, abducted, if you will, and she was found, her body was found. And
very sad, tragic
situation.
Very
sad. And the city rallied behind that, and not only did Memphis rally behind that, but there were people in other cities that got wind of it, and they also supported a run that happened this past Saturday, I believe it was. And then just on the heels of her death and them finding her body in South Memphis, Alicia, I believe?
I think so.
Uh-huh. And they found her body, and then this young man went on a rampage. I believe it was
a shooting rampage, yeah.
Wednesday
night.
Yeah. And he was just driving around and randomly shooting and killing people. And I'm telling you, that was really heart-wrenching. And so much of what I shared, and they did capture him, of course. But, you know, so much is happening. People are really in a state of confusion, and people are just perplexed about their safety, and they're also concerned about their surroundings, which we should always be. But this just sent a terror wave, if you will, across the city of Memphis and Shelby County. And so I know that all of the pastors in the city, no doubt, and were preaching and encouraging their leaders, members, and their congregations, and giving them hope in this season. And so the message I preached on yesterday had to do with encouraging the people, that, and the title was Something Good Is Going to Come Out of This.
Mm.
And even in Jeremiah, it talked about how there was a time of Jacob's trouble, and that's a very familiar phrase that you see in that seventh verse of that 30th chapter. And Jacob, of course, we talked about him wrestling with God and wrestling with the angel on last week when we talked about a battle for a blessing. Mm-hmm. But this whole thing with Jacob's trouble really kind of symbolized some of the struggles that we find ourselves in, because mm-hmm. it was a difficult time, it was a hard time, and Jacob's name, of course, was changed to Israel. And as a result of that, we know that his 12 sons, they were named as the 12 tribes of Israel. Right. But the Lord instructed Jacob in that particular passage that there was going to be some difficulty, there were going to be some travail, and it really spoke to the end times, mm-hmm. and it talked about how things were going to get worse before they got better.
Amen.
And really what I was trying to let people understand and get a sense of, because the end of that seventh verse, it says, God says, but I will save my people.
Oh, hallelujah.
Even though they're going through difficulty, even though the climate is of such where people are fearful and they are looking as if everything is about to come to an end, God instructs the people, just like he instructs us, not to grow weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not.
Yes.
And we have to work while it's yet day, because night is coming, symbolizing that the Lord is coming back, and that when the Lord does come back, we can't start doing the work that we should be doing. And so we have to work while we have a chance, do what we can while we can. And God's got us. Mm-hmm. God's got this thing under control.
Yes, he does.
And it seems like a shaking is happening all across our land and country. And it just so happened that it happened in Memphis, Tennessee. It could have happened anywhere else with mm-hmm. this shooting spree that happened. And this young man, mental illness, of course, is on the rise. And everybody is trying to make sense of how to legislate gun control. Mm-hmm. But God is in control.
Yes, he's in control.
And so we don't have to worry, nor do we have to fret, because he has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. And so I just rehearsed that to the people on yesterday and reminded them that we still have to do the work. Mm-hmm. We still got to work together. We've got to rally together. And then we have to continue to press toward the mark.
Amen.
Those were the points. And so I talked about how even in the midst of what we were faced with in Memphis, we took 13 pallets of water down to Jackson, Mississippi mm-hmm. to respond to the crisis that's happening in Jackson, Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
And what would have normally taken one day ended up being a two-day experience of us going back to Jackson because of some difficulties that we had with the first trip. But I tell you, when we got there on Friday, we were so amazed at how the people were responding in Jackson, and how the need was so great, and how the people were hurting, and how the cars were just lined up all the way to the freeway, Lady Kim,
hmm.
trying to get to
trying
New
to
Horizon,
water.
Trying to get
hmm.
water. And so they had to push, hold the cars back for us to get into the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, y'all just come on in, and we're going to take the water off of the trailer, and we're going to start distributing this right now.
Mm-hmm.
The people need this water.
Wow.
And so they ended up doing two lines mm-hmm. of cars. And the one, Whitmore and myself, we witnessed a major outpouring and an outreach effort, I think, that brought joy to God's eyes. And it was a privilege for us to be co-laborers and to work together. Even though we had something that was of a desperate need happening in the city of Memphis, that does not stop us from reaching out across the aisle, or reaching out even across the state line
yes.
to help somebody else.
That's good.
And so we talked about that a little bit. And we talked about how important it is for us to continue to press toward the mark.
Mm-hmm.
Because in our pressing, there is a blessing.
Amen.
And
hallelujah.
You can't grow weary.
Well
you can't give up. You can't throw in the towel just because you have a little difficulty.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we are faced with trials and tribulations, be of good cheer. Jesus himself says, I have already overcome. And so that's what we challenge the people around, because something good is going to come out of this.
Something good.
And God mm-hmm. continues to show himself faithful in the midst of our failures. He continues to show himself faithful in the midst of what seems like an impossible situation. And God continues to elevate his people and give us the strength that we need to even run on a little while longer. So God's got us covered.
Yes, he does.
He's got us covered. If you are still breathing, then you ought to be praising. Everything that has breath ought to give God praise.
Hallelujah.
If God continues to sustain you in this season, you have a right, you have a reason, and you have a responsibility to give him praise.
Hallelujah.
I felt something, because I'm telling you, that thing is still in my spirit, Lady Kim. I might even look again at that on Sunday as we prepare for this Sunday. But I tell you, I believe people were helped as a result of that message. Something good is going to come out of this. You might not be like Jacob, where it describes a time of Jacob's troubles. But all of us have trials. All of us have difficulties. All of us have those moments in our lives where it seems like everything is falling loose at the seam. Mm-hmm. But I want to encourage you, just like I did on yesterday, to continue to trust the timing of God in your situation.
Amen.
I was getting ready to sing yesterday, and I told them that you weren't there.
I heard that. Somebody told me to come get me. Yeah,
but,
to hold you back.
That's right, to hold me back.
Keep you in check.
Keep me in check. I couldn't get anybody to help me. But the congregation responded. And it was a congregational song that went forth
well,
in the sanctuary.
Thank God for the congregation.
I know that's right. But you know, Lady Kim, I know y'all make light of it, and I don't profess to be a singer.
When the Spirit of the Lord hits,
and then I feel the anointing of God, mm-hmm. I'll go ahead and let it out. I feel something in my throat right
Uh-oh.
Now.
I think we're on Ecclesiastes.
Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter. But, Lady Kim, just share with us a little bit about your experience, and we're going to jump in. We only have 14 verses here tonight. Share with the people a little bit about what you experienced at Trinity on yesterday.
Well, at Trinity, their pastor was out mm-hmm. on sick leave. I think he had knee replacement surgery, but he was there on yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
He had to keep his leg elevated, so he sat in the back, you know, so he could keep his leg elevated.
Okay.
But it was a wonderful experience, a quite different experience than what I'm used to.
Mm-hmm.
But God was in the midst of his people.
Absolutely.
And so I preached, Trinity, it's time for a change.
It's time for a change.
It's time for a change.
Okay.
And I preached from Matthew, the 5th chapter, the first 7 verses, I believe it was.
Mm-hmm.
And then I talked about, you know, in order to change, first of all, you have to be obedient.
Right, right.
Then there is a change of location.
Mm-hmm.
First, there was a change in strategy.
Strategy,
then a change in location.
They were out fishing.
Then a change in attitude. Yes, it was about Jesus, you know, when Simon and the others had come in from a terrible night of fishing
mm-hmm.
because the Bible said they had caught nothing.
Mm-hmm.
They had come ashore. They were cleaning and washing their nets. Jesus got in Simon's boat, told him to push out a little from the shore.
Mm-hmm.
He taught the people there from the boat. And then he turned to Simon and said, push out or launch out a little, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch.
Okay.
And, you know, I talked about changing your strategy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that Simon and his partners had been fishing in the shallow water.
Okay.
And Jesus told them, to push out into the deep.
Mm-hmm.
And not only had they been fishing in shallow water, it said they had been up all night.
All night.
So they realized that the best time for fishing was at night.
Okay.
You know, because the fish can't see the nets at night when it's dark.
Okay.
And so their catch is greater at night.
Okay.
But this particular night, they had caught nothing. But Jesus told him to launch out into the deep and let down his net. And when he did that, you know, the nets were filled with so many fish that it was about to, the nets were about to break. Mm-hmm. So they had to change their strategy. And the interesting thing about that is Simon was obedient.
Right.
Why was he obedient? He was obedient to Jesus because, first of all, Jesus was a fisherman. I mean, Jesus was a carpenter.
That's right.
And Simon was a fisherman.
Said, oh, that's so, Dr. Qualis.
Yes, fishermen took advice from a carpenter.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That's
so,
obedience to the, to the 12th power.
Yeah, to take advice from somebody who does not even, who's not even a professional in that trade.
Right, right.
You know,
right, right.
That's just like telling you to go and go and build a house.
Right.
You're not a carpenter, you're a preacher.
Okay.
So,
all right.
you know what a nail and a hammer is, but you are not skilled with reading blueprints.
Absolutely.
And putting up walls.
But they went without questioning.
They went without argument.
They went without any persuasion from Jesus, and they were obedient.
They were obedient. So they changed their strategy. They changed their location. They went from the shallow water to the deep water.
Okay.
And then they changed their attitude.
Their attitude?
You know, yes. They had a change of attitude because, you know, they could have said, I'm not going out there. I've been out all night fishing. Mm-hmm. But instead of having a resistant attitude, they complied with Jesus' wishes. And as a result, they caught so many fish that their nets began to break. And not only were they able to, not only is increased for us to keep it to ourselves, but it's to share with someone else.
That's right.
They had so much that they had to call for the other boats to come and to help them. So there was enough for everybody. So when we experience overflow in our lives, it's time for us to go out and share with other people so that they can have overflow also.
You talked about some negative something. I listened to it, blockers or negative. What was it? You said you could have used that as a fourth point.
Resistant forces.
That
forces.
Was good.
Yes.
I listened to it afterwards, and it was a powerful word.
Thank you.
I know the culture is a little different, but God, I believe God was well pleased with your effort and how you proclaimed the word, and I could see just from looking at it that the Lord is still growing you, and you're even increasing in your presentation of the gospel. And so we had an opportunity to, that's a part of outreach. People don't realize and extend ourselves beyond ourselves and beyond the four walls of ATOP and reach out to help and assist. And that's really what this partnership and relationship is all about. We're there to help and assist them. The pastor was out and he was present, but he had had surgery. But we want to be that kind of, in that kind of relationship and that kind of partnership, just like we did when we went to Jackson, Mississippi, extending ourselves beyond ourselves and reaching beyond the four walls of the church.
Mm-hmm. And I appreciated the people welcoming me and accepting me and the word. I think the word fell on good ground.
I believe it did, no doubt. Well, did Dr. Qualis, she accompanied you as well.
Yes,
was she saying
she
amen?
She was a big help.
Did
Lord
she get an amen from
Dr. Qualis? I got an
Qualis.
Amen from Dr. Qualis.
I wish we could get an amen tonight from her. You think, is she there? I think she's there.
She's there. She's here.
Okay.
Yeah, she helped break the ground. You know, she preached the Sunday before.
That's
and so,
right.
You know, they are a quiet group, but she has...
There it is. There's that amen. Thank you, Dr. Q.
Trained them well
responding.
So was that call and response from them. So when I asked them to respond, they responded.
Okay.
Yes.
You thought you were at ATOP there for a minute. You said, I ain't getting no help in here. Something to say like that. I don't hear nobody
right, up in
here. But a great job, and I praise God for... You, Dr. Q, Dr. Butler, all of our ministers
Amen.
And all of our leaders, I tell you, God is doing something and we have to be mindful. The Bible says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord God is saying unto the church. God is speaking even in troubled times. And so I want to encourage you, those of us who are going through and have our backs up against the wall, don't turn a deaf ear to the word of God or to the voice of God, because God is yet speaking even in troubled times, and his promises are sure. His satisfaction is guaranteed. God's got you covered. I don't know what you might be going through, but don't let your situation or your location obscure your destination. But you hang on in there a little while longer, because help is on the way.
Amen.
And just continue to trust the timing of God in your life.
Amen.
All right. Well, we're in the 12th chapter of Ecclesiastes tonight, and we praise God for each of you who are viewing, and those who are going, who will probably hear this particular virtual study later tonight, maybe even tomorrow. But we're closing out Ecclesiastes, and of course, we know that Solomon, one of the wisest, in fact, the wisest man to ever live, he's really doing a moment and a time of reflection. He's going through a discourse after he has experienced everything in life that you could imagine or even think for. He had all of the wealth, all of the riches, had all of the thing, anything that he wanted, he had it at his disposal. And so God did not remove his grace from him, nor did he remove the promise that he had established with him. Mm-hmm. And Solomon had to go through a time of investigation, if you will, as he refocused his life almost at the end of his life, of what he had accomplished and how God was yet an ever-present spirit in the midst of everything that he was going through. And he learned some very valuable lessons, and we talked about several of those on last week, and it continues this week, because he says life is an adventure.
Yeah.
And we have to live it by faith.
Well,
life is a gift. We must enjoy it. Mm-hmm. And he says tonight that life is a school. You've got to learn the lessons. And not only that, but life is stewardship. And you're going to be talking about stewardship here next week, on next Thursday. Life is stewardship. We must fear God. And so when we pick up tonight, we see that Solomon is still challenging us and talking about the lessons of, that we have to learn from what we go through. But we also have to enjoy life, because it's a gift from God.
It is.
We can't wait till the things of our time has run out, our season, our health, our strength, our availability to move and to go. And you'll see a lot of that coming out tonight.
Right.
And our bodies wearing out before we decide that we want to enjoy ourselves. Mm-hmm. But we have to enjoy ourselves, and we have to, because life is a gift.
Amen.
And then a life is a school. Mm-hmm. Anything you want to add to that, Lady Kim?
No, and like you said, I said no, and then
yeah, you did. That's what you said. That's why I looked at you like that. I was trying to.
But you know, I'm excited about talking about how life is a school, and the lessons you learn from it.
Okay.
But where we're going to start is with life is a gift.
A gift. Okay.
Life is a gift, and we need to enjoy it. We don't look at life as a gift.
No.
We wake up in the mornings, most of us, and we go about our daily activity, mm-hmm. and we don't even realize that today is a gift.
That's right.
To live life, to move and live and breathe is a gift, because we don't know if we will make it to tomorrow.
That's right.
So
that's
we
right.
need to learn how to enjoy life today.
Mm-hmm.
Like they say, smell the roses today.
Okay.
Laugh today. We had a good laugh in the car today. I hadn't laughed that hard in a long time. I laughed so until my stomach hurt and I started to cry.
Yeah.
And so it was
funny. It was funny, but
it's still funny.
Yeah, but we're not even going there.
You
sure?
We ain't going there.
All right. But it was a good laugh.
It was a good
5-10 minute laugh. Yeah. One of those that you need to get a good laugh, and it was not planned, or it was not, you know.
Yeah.
So it was spontaneous, and it happened.
It was spontaneous.
And I tell you, that was a good laugh.
Yes. But anyway,
I don't even want to think about it. I'm about to laugh now.
We need to enjoy life, okay, and have fun, you know. And, you know, we try to save our ladies. We try to save our best clothes for when there's a special occasion. Mm-hmm. Today mm-hmm. is a special
that's
occasion.
Right. That's right.
Put on your nice clothes.
That's right.
Put on your heels if you can still wear heels. Put on your best jewelry and wear it.
China wear.
Yeah, eat off your china. My, you know why is that china sitting up in that china cabinet?
That's right.
Collecting dust. Get it out and eat from it. You know,
right.
Use that stuff. You got you bought it or people have given it to you and it's sitting up in the cabinet, the china cabinet, collecting dust. You know, tomorrow is not promised.
Tomorrow is not
Get
promised.
It out and use it. Get it out, put it on.
That's
walk
right.
around in those heels and look cute.
All right know. Now.
Amen.
Okay. So we're talking tonight from Ecclesiastes.
Yes,
the
we are.
12th chapter. And part of that, first part of the 12th chapter, deals with what Lady Kim has just talked about in the fact that life is a gift and how we have to enjoy it. And then the latter part of it talks about how life is a school. We have to learn from it. And then life is stewardship and how we need to fear God. Not it's a reverent fear of God. It's not a fear of God in the way that you are
afraid
of.
A scary fear.
No, mm-hmm. it's not that kind of fear.
Yes.
But this is what we're going to talk about tonight. You want to just go ahead and read these 14 verses, Lady Kim, in Ecclesiastes. And for those of you who are viewing, you can join us. Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter. There are only 14 verses there. And I see on the platform we have several people on the streaming side. And I'm going to go to the other platform on, I believe it shows up on this one too, doesn't it?
I'm
on
not
the,
sure.
Okay, I'll go ahead and do that on the website.
And while he's doing that, I'll be reading Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter. I'm beginning with the first verse. The New King James Version says, "Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, 'I have no pleasure in them.' When the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are not darkened, and the clouds do not return after the rain. In a day when the keepers of the house tremble, and the strong men bow down, when the grinders cease because they are few, mm-hmm. and those that look through the windows grow dim, when the doors are shut in the streets and the sound of grinding is low, when one rises up at the sound of the bird and all the daughters of music are brought low, also they are afraid of height and of terrors in the way. When the almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper is a burden, and desire fails. For man goes to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. Remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yes, he pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find acceptable words, and what was written was upright, words of truth.
Mm-hmm.
The words of the wise are like goads, and the words of scholars are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. And further, my son, be astonished by these, be admonished by these. Of making many books there is no end, and much study is wearisome to the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter.
Mm-hmm.
Fear God.
Fear God.
And keep his commandments.
Keep his commandments.
For this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil."
All right. That's great. That's great. That's 14 verses there, and that's the 12th chapter in its entirety. He starts out by talking about the importance and the significance of remembering. And these are some final instructions that Solomon is using, and helping him to think about God mm-hmm. and the meaning of life and how to consider all of the things that have happened and how important it is for him to remember. You know, we have to remember what God has done. We can't mm-hmm. forget, you know. Mm-hmm. And I never ever shall forget what the Lord, how does that song go? Is it like that? Mm-hmm. I never shall forget
what he's done for
what
me.
What he's done for me.
Yes.
And so we have to continue to remember. We don't need to go back and stay back, but we need to go back and reflect, because all of us have gotten to this place, not on our own, but it's by the grace of God. People prayed for us. God helped us in the past. And the same God that brought you through the difficult time that you were going through. You remember that time when you were struggling and you didn't know how you were going to make it? But here you are.
Thank you, Lord.
You clothed in your right mind
and made it over. Yes.
And yet we have a tendency to forget about what God has done. God yes. has been faithful.
Yes, he has.
He's been kind and
yes.
just and,
yes.
and merciful. Aren't you glad we serve that kind of God?
Oh, I'm so thankful.
He looks beyond our faults and he gets right to our needs.
Yes.
And many times we forget about just how gracious God is.
Gracious.
And
God.
So I praise God today for this reminder that we need to remember what the Lord has done.
Amen. And you know, it says when you said thinking about God,
mm-hmm.
it means pay attention to him and consider, you know, obeying him. And this Solomon's version of Matthew 6:33, where it says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness mm-hmm. and all these other things will be added unto you.
Okay.
It's saying, don't neglect the Lord, you know, don't get caught up in the enjoyment of life and the opportunities of youth and fail to recognize God or to think about the goodness of God.
That's right. That's right. Because he uses a comparison or analogy here and talks about how things will change the older we get.
Yes.
We begin to see some changes in our lives. Is
yes.
that what he was talking about?
That's what he was talking about. And, you know, when we read verses 3-7,
mm-hmm.
you know, he gives a very imaginative description of old age and death.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at that, look at verses 3-7.
That's in the 12th chapter of Ecclesiastes. 12th,
yes.
Yes.
And,
mm-hmm.
and here is the symbolism that it talks about.
Okay.
The keepers of the house are your arms and hands. They begin to tremble
mm-hmm.
when you get old.
Okay.
The strong man are your legs, your knees, your shoulders weaken and you walk bent over.
Mm.
Grinders, you start to lose your teeth. We're talking about as you get older.
Okay.
Windows.
Grinders
are when you start to lose your teeth.
Okay.
Yes. Windows, your vision begins to deteriorate.
Okay.
Yeah, mine beginning.
Getting
okay.
There.
Doors.
Yeah, yeah.
Doors. Either your hearing starts to fail or you close your mouth because you've lost your teeth.
What did you say?
Your grinders. Grinders. You can't chew your food or your ears can't pick up the sounds outdoors.
What?
When it talks about rise up, you wake up with the birds early each morning.
Mm.
And you wish you could sleep longer, but you just can't go back to
can't
sleep.
Can't go back to sleep.
Yep. Talks about that music. Your voice starts to quiver and weaken.
Mm-hmm.
Afraid. You are terrified of heights and afraid of falling while walking down the street or walking around your house even. It talks about the almond tree. If you have any hair left,
uh-oh.
It turns white like the almond blossoms.
Why you have to repeat that, lady kid?
If you got a little hair left.
I got
left.
A little bit.
You got a little bit
little
left.
Bit, little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, there it is.
Oops,
if you have
is.
Any left, it is white like the almond blossoms. It talks about the grasshopper. If you just drag yourself along like a grasshopper at the close of the summer season. Your desires means you lose your appetite or
mm-hmm.
perhaps lose your sexual desire
mm.
and long for home. You go to your eternal or you long for your eternal home and people mourn your death.
Wow.
So lots of symbolism there in verses 3-7.
Okay. And so, Solomon is really helping us to get a sense of how important it is for us to enjoy life, because it is a gift. Mm-hmm. And we don't need to wait until we get to a place where we don't have the ability nor the capacity to enjoy the blessings that God has bestowed upon us.
Amen.
And here is a man who was the wisest man to ever live, share his wisdom and impart his wisdom to let us know that that's why it's important to seek the voice of God, to hear God's voice, and to be obedient to his voice.
Amen.
And do what we can while we can, and do it to the glory and honor of God. So don't put off what you can do. How does
tomorrow,
it say? Tomorrow.
What you can do today.
What you can do today.
Yes.
Okay.
Because tomorrow is
not promised.
Not promised.
Not promised. Not promised.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So, you know, then it talks in verses, we talked briefly about that symbolism in verses 3-7. In verses, let's skip down to verses 9-12, because I believe our time is getting short. You know, it talks about life is a school and we need to learn our lessons. Life is a school. Learn your lessons.
That's right. That's right. Because, you know, when we mentioned that earlier, I was thinking about, you know, you of course are still an educator, but you were in the classroom at one point, and there's a certain repetition that has to happen in order for the kids to really get a sense of what you're trying to teach them. Is that right?
Yes.
And I don't know the exact pattern or whatever the formula might be. How do y'all go about making sure that y'all make that happened for the kids?
Well, you know, teaching and learning process changed so over the years. You know, when I first became a teacher, it was repetition, repetition, repetition.
Okay.
You know, for instance, learning your timetables. Mm-hmm. How did you learn your timetables?
Right. They kept going over
you
and
went over it and over it and over it.
Drilling it.
Yes. And now it's a scaffolding or a spiraling effect. Okay. You teach it for a minute, then you go to something else, then you come back to it again. So it spirals until the children learn it. Okay. So it's a different process now, but the end is the same. You know, you hit on things and then you come back to it again. And then you touch on it. You integrate your information. Mm-hmm, you know, what you talk about in science, you talk about in English, and you bring in your math, you know. And so it's integrated instruction, and it's spiraled and it's scaffolding as you go along.
Okay.
So it's a different method of teaching, but the children still learn and retain the information. Me personally, I still like the old way of teaching, you know, skill and drill.
That's what they used to call
it. We used to call it skill and drill. You give them a skill, you drill them on it until they learn it, and then you move on.
Okay. And both of those are applicable to how we process this word, I believe, because sometimes people, they hear something, but somebody else can reinforce that and say the very same thing, and they'll hear it differently.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to continue to be repetitive in terms of us bringing back to thought and to memory what has already been settled in the spirit. And many times I believe circumstances dictate how people hear the word.
Amen.
Particularly when they're going through a difficult time or a crisis in their life. And I'm of the opinion that many times our faith has to catch up with the word of God.
Amen.
Our experiences has
too.
To catch up with the word of God.
Yes.
Because we have so much in us. Just think about all of the sermons, all of the workshops, all of the conventions, all of the conferences that we participated
all
in.
All of the sermons you
all
heard.
All of the sermons
all
that
the
you
Bible studies and Sunday school.
Sunday school. All of that is in your heart and
yes.
It's hidden. And so something has to happen to jolt you to a point where that begins to rebirth and come back again and cause you to reflect on what you learned. Do you agree with me on that?
I agree. Yes, yeah. I do.
And so all of those methods are still applicable even as we move through out this Christian journey and the Christian experience that we have.
Amen.
But with the next few minutes that we have, Lady Kim, anything particularly that you want to pull out of verses 9 through 12 that kind of caught your eye about life being a lesson? And I think we've really kind of captured most of that, but is there something that really, because Solomon really comes to a overwhelming conclusion, mm-hmm. that he has learned some very valuable lessons, and he's come to the point of knowing that he can't not exclude God from his life.
Yes.
He must have God in the forefront,
yes.
of everything that he undertaken.
That was the main conclusion
He
came to at the very end.
That's right.
But, you know, one of the things that I like that he talked about when he said, you know, that life is like a school, except that sometimes you don't know what the lessons are until you fail the test.
Wow.
You know, you don't even know what the lesson is until you fail miserably.
Mm-hmm.
Then you say, man.
Till you're falling on your face.
Absolutely.
Till you felt as if you had done the worst that you could ever possibly do.
Mm-hmm.
And you look up, you dust yourself off. And that's when you realize what the lesson was all about?
Absolutely.
Is that basically what you're saying?
Yeah.
A lot of people are like that, even today.
Some people never learned the lesson.
That's right.
They still continue to fall in the same hole every time. You mm-hmm. know, they still mm-hmm. haven't learned the lesson. But, you know, God teaches us primarily through his word.
Okay.
But he also teaches us through creation, through history, and various experiences in life.
That's right.
So Solomon explained the characteristics of, you know, God teaching us his truths in these ways.
Okay.
So, you know, it's wise. Teaching is a wise thing.
Mm-hmm.
Learning from a teacher is a wise thing.
Okay.
So, and you talked about Solomon being the wisest man. And it talks about that in 1 Kings, the 3rd chapter, verses 3 through 28.
Mm-hmm.
And the king, King Solomon, studied and explored a lot of different subjects.
That's right.
And when he came to the conclusion at the end, you know, he always had something powerful to say about it.
Yes.
So he was very methodical in his teaching. He was very
disciplined,
very careful with his teaching,
very orderly, structured.
Yes, he used acceptable wording mm-hmm, when he taught. Mm-hmm, you know, he mm-hmm. didn't just say anything. His words were pleasing or gracious words that he used.
That's right. And so this 12th chapter of Ecclesiastes, those of you who are just yet joining us as we come to the conclusion, is very powerful and impactful for us even today, because if we follow the script, if we are obedient to what God requires of us, if we don't wait and waste our lives and don't just look at life in a negative perspective, but we understand that even though we might go through some difficulties, even along this journey as we go through various adventures, we have to live by faith.
Live by faith.
The Bible says we walk by faith
and not by sight.
And so we have to call those things that be not as though they already are. And you can't wait for something to happen. You've got to stretch out. You've got to stretch out on your faith. You've got to experience life, because it's an adventure and it's a gift.
Yes.
And so we have to enjoy it.
Yes.
Don't wait until you have reached the end of your life, or you're coming to a place where you have no more, you know, you have nothing else to offer, that you try to enjoy it. But enjoy life while you can. Do mm-hmm. what you can while you can. And do it to the glory and honor of God. And mm-hmm. then life is a school, as we just talked about. And there are some lessons that you must learn if we are going to be successful, if we are going to be by any way possible bring glory and honor to God. We have to understand that the lessons that God is teaching us, we have to really learn those lessons in order to advance. Would you agree with me
on
that?
Amen. That's right. And you know, the 12th verse really intrigued me.
Mm-hmm.
It says, "And further, my son, be admonished by these, of making many books there is no end, and much study is wearisome to the flesh."
Mm-hmm.
And so here it sounds like this is a negative view of learning, but that's not the case. The statement is warning the student not to go beyond what God has written in his word. In other words, it's saying, don't let books rob you of God's wisdom.
That's right.
Because
that's
there are a lot of books out there that can fill your head with all kind of foolishness.
That's right.
There are books out there that can fill your head with knowledge, but there's no better book that can fill you with wisdom than the word of God.
My.
We have to make sure that the word of God is our primary source.
That's good.
And lean and depend on God's word as our source and our resource. It says, be warned, my son, of anything in addition to them. You know that. So we need to be careful about those books and what the knowledge that we gain from them, and don't let that knowledge override God's knowledge and wisdom in the word.
That's good. That's good. The word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path.
Amen.
Dr. Tunstall said we need to live the abundant life.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Dr. Tunstall, all the way from Los Angeles. He's on the call tonight. We're certainly grateful for that. I see our tallest, Timothy, Pastor Marquise McPherson on tonight. And we praise God for him as well. We were chatting this past weekend, doing a couple of texts back and forth. But it's always good when he's available and able to be with us as well. And so, Lady Kim, how would you summarize this 12th chapter as we prepare to close it out tonight?
Well, Solomon concludes the book by giving his antidote for the two main ailments that he talked about. People who lack purpose and direction in life should fear God and keep his commandments first.
Okay.
And then people who think that their life is unfair should remember that God will go back and look at everyone's life and make his judgment.
Okay.
Only a right relationship with God can prepare us for old age, death, and the judgment of God.
So Solomon really came to a proper perspective on who God was and what God had done for him and how God was first and foremost in terms of his life, even though he was reckless. He did a couple of things that were not in line with what God would have wanted him to do, just like us. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but we have to come to ourselves, just like the son when he ran off with his inheritance.
The prodigal son.
The prodigal son. He came to himself and he realized and recognized that God was his source, and the father was being symbolized as God in that whole process, and how we too have to come to ourselves and understand that we're nothing without God. In him we do live, move, and have our being.
Amen.
And we have to get this word in our hearts and allow it to be applied to everything that we do.
Amen.
On the regular and not wait till we get in trouble before we decide that we're going to call on the name of the Lord.
That's right. Absolutely.
Yes.
That's good.
All right. Well, our time is nigh, Lady Kim, and we're certainly grateful for each of you who are on the call tonight. I've looked at both the other platforms. We have several people on the streaming side as well as on the website, and we thank God for those who are viewing on the Facebook Live side. And we're bringing to a close Ecclesiastes, and we're going to start with our next time when we come together. We'll be in the book of Solomon, Song of Solomon, if you will. It's called also the Book of Solomon. And we'll talk about how that experience has really helped us as we've gone through the books of wisdom. We started out with Proverbs, I believe it was, and then we went to Ecclesiastes, and we'll close out with the Song of Solomon.
Amen. And I think to close out this book of Ecclesiastes on tonight, we need to remember 1 John 5:12. And it says, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. So you can receive life in Christ and be satisfied all the days of your life.
Wow. That's
all
powerful.
The days of your life.
That's powerful, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes. So don't forget, if you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, this is a great opportunity to welcome him into your heart and into your life. All you have to do is repent of your sins. Believe that Jesus died and God rose him from the dead on the third day with all power in his hands. And repent of your sinfulness. And you will have life everlasting. Don't forget First John 5:12.
Okay.
He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Do you have the Son of God in your life today? Do you know Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life?
That's powerful. Are there any prayer requests tonight as we prepare to close?
Lady, I haven't seen any prayer requests. I saw one comment by Brother Martez. He says he's had many lessons in his 35 years of life, mm-hmm. but he's learned it's not only the lesson did he learn from those lessons to do better and prosper in life.
That's great. So that's great.
He's learned lessons mm-hmm. from those lessons.
That's right. That's mm-hmm. right. That's right. All right, well, let's prepare to close out tonight, and we praise God for each of you, and we thank God for you being a part of this study, and then we'll pick back up when we start with Song of Solomon mm-hmm. Next time for our study.
I do have one prayer request for our grandson, Dion Harris. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He's currently in the hospital. They're checking him out. They think he has some kind of viral infection. He was having difficulty breathing, but they've done a COVID test and a couple of COVID tests and flu, and they've come back negative. And so they're trying to find out why he's having difficulty breathing. So lift up our grandson, Dion Chandler Harris, in your prayers, as well as his mom and his dad, as they, you know, this is the first time one of their kids has had an illness like this where they're hospitalized. And so you can imagine, as a parent, what it's like.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, will you do the honors tonight in closing us out?
Absolutely.
All right.
Let us go to God in prayer. Precious Jesus, how we love you. We thank you and we bless you for this time that we've had in Bible study in the book of Ecclesiastes, this book of life. God, we thank you for revealing to us how to live a better life, and that a life apart from you is nothing, is void, is wasted. And we thank you, oh God, that we have you, Jesus Christ. We have you, Father God. We have you, Holy Spirit, to lead us and guide us and walk us through our lives. We bless you and we honor you for giving us the gift of eternal life
yes,
through your
God.
Son, Jesus
yes,
Christ.
Yes, God. Thank you, Lord.
And God, we ask your choicest blessings
Hallelujah.
To be upon each person that Hallelujah. Comes across this Bible study, each person that's on this Bible
yes,
study.
God.
We lift up every young person tonight, God. We call out Dion's name tonight, God. We ask that you would touch and heal his
Do
body
it, God.
Right
Do
now,
it,
God, in the name of
in the
Jesus.
Name of Jesus.
And we thank you for his life, God. What the enemy meant for evil, God, we ask that you would work it out for his good. So we thank you tonight, Lord. We thank you for our pastor. We
thank you
for
God.
Our members. Continue to grow us up in you, oh God. And as we continue in the leadership modules, God, we thank you for Dr. Butler. We thank you for Dr. Qualis. We thank you for Dr. Murray. And God, I ask that you would bless the upcoming stewardship sessions on next week, oh God. I ask that you would open the windows of heaven and pour out your blessing upon that module, God, that people will not have room
thank
enough
you,
to receive.
Thank you, God.
We thank you for your word, oh God. We thank you for the wisdom of your word. We thank you for the people of God who hear the word. We thank you for the people
Hallelujah.
Of God who
Hallelujah.
Obey your word.
Yes,
we
God.
Thank you for the people of God who work the word. And we love you tonight.
We love you, God.
We give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and
Amen
thank God.
And praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right. Well, go in peace tonight, and may the peace of God go with you, and you be blessed and enjoy the rest of your evening tonight.
Amen. I got one thing to say.
What's that?
Bird's nest and beehive.
All right.
That's a private joke.
All right, Reverend. You're funny.
Amen. Good
Glory
night,
God.
Everybody.
Hallelujah. Burns, Bye. Chest, and Beehive. Amen.
Bye, y'all.